The story that is reshaping global energy markets and Middle East calculations this morning centers on one decision: Trump's pause on further strikes against Iran. But the how of that decision is almost as significant as the decision itself. According to multiple reports, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu learned the strikes were being paused not through a diplomatic back channel, not through a secure line from the Situation Room, but through Trump's social media feed. That's a remarkable breakdown in Allied coordination, and it raises serious questions about how the operational relationship between Washington and Jerusalem is actually functioning 5 months into this conflict.
The pause came directly after a New York Times investigation revealed that a 2,000-pound bomb, a GBU-31 JDAM variant, the kind designed to destroy hardened military targets, struck a family home on Keshem Island, killing 3 civilians. Keshem is Iran's largest island in the Strait of Hormuz, and the strike was apparently aimed at IRGC infrastructure. The civilian deaths are creating significant political pressure domestically and internationally. Senator Mark Kelly, the Arizona Democrat and combat veteran, called the administration flailing on Iran this week and urged the appointment of new negotiators. He's been very specific. 5 months in, he says there's still no coherent strategic plan.
Kelly's criticism has teeth because of who he is. He's not just a partisan critic. He flew combat missions in Iraq. When he says flailing, that carries weight with military voters in a way that most Democratic criticism doesn't. And the timing matters. We're now 90 days from midterms, and Kelly himself said Sunday that Democrats can realistically win back the Senate. He's essentially using the Iran war's mismanagement as the central argument for that case.
The Iranian side is equally contradictory, and that's what I find analytically interesting. President Pezeshkian is publicly calling the U.S. memorandum, whatever agreement or framework is on the table, the cornerstone of future Iranian foreign policy. That's conciliatory language. At the same moment, the IRGC is marking the second anniversary of Haniyeh's assassination by vowing crushing retaliation, calling any Hamas disarmament plan doomed, and threatening to close global choke points beyond just the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is speaking with at least 2 very distinct voices right now.
And those choke point threats are not abstract. There's reporting that Chinese vessels are crossing the Red Sea unharmed while Saudi and Qatari ships are being targeted, which suggests the Houthis, still operating in Iran's orbit despite everything, are making very deliberate choices about which flags they attack. That's strategic signaling with enormous economic consequences. Satellite imagery released over the weekend shows heavy damage at Saudi Aramco's Jazan refinery following Houthi strikes. That's not a peripheral skirmish. Jazan is a significant refining operation.
Which brings us to Secretary Rubio's plan to reroute oil flows around the Strait of Hormuz. Analysts this week were almost uniformly dismissive. The infrastructure for any meaningful bypass, pipelines, port capacity, alternative corridors simply doesn't exist at the scale needed to replace Hormuz flows, which represent roughly 20% of global seaborne oil. One analyst I saw quoted put it plainly, even if you built everything Rubio envisions, you'd still be short by at least 6 to 8 million barrels per day. The vision is aspirational, and in the meantime, oil markets are doing the actual risk pricing.
Oil tumbled sharply on the pause announcement, which tells you how much of a war premium was baked into prices. Global stocks lifted simultaneously, and S&P futures are sitting around 7,561 this morning. Markets are reading the pause as a de-escalation signal, but there's a real risk that they're being too optimistic. The IRGC's anniversary statement wasn't rhetorical boilerplate, and the Pentagon is under serious strain. General Grinkwich reportedly told Defense Department leadership that he may be forced to choose between defending U.S. territory and defending Israel, because he needs at least one more destroyer in theater. That is a remarkable resource constraint to be voicing 5 months in.
There's also the Khamenei audio question, which is a detail that sounds minor, but could have serious escalatory potential. Iran is claiming that audio recordings of Supreme Leader Khamenei could expose the location of his bunker. Whether that's a genuine security concern or a constructed narrative to justify communication blackouts around his movements, I don't know. But when you're in a conflict where the other side has demonstrated precision strike capability, the supreme leader going to ground operationally is a real development.
The through line here is that the pause is real but fragile. The civilians killed on Keshm Island, the IRGC anniversary statements, the resource constraints on the U.S. military side, this isn't a situation that resolves cleanly. We'll be watching this closely all week.